CliffCentral.com. Mini Dlamini Jones.
Yes.
Hey, last time I spoke to you, you were just Mini Dlamini.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes, I was.
And we've got so much to catch up on. But
for sure.
You came in here and you said to me, you feel like you're in the principal's office.
I do. I was in the principal's office quite a lot. So I guess that's why it looks really familiar.
What can I do to make it less principal's office?
Oh my gosh, the poo emoji. You have to bring it in here.
It must come in here.
It has to come in here.
We've got the poo emoji cushion, so we'll bring that in.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
How are you, gorgeous?
I'm good. I'm so happy and just giddy and good.
Yeah, you're beaming. Whatever this married life is, it's doing you good.
Yeah, I'm in such a good space. Like, I feel like I'm calmer now. And my heart is at ease. You know, like, you know that weird, awkward moment when you're dating someone and you know you love them and you know they love you, but then you're kind of at that, like, do you want to allow yourself to love more, but you're scared and you're not? You know what I'm talking about? Or am I just waffling?
No. How did you get to the point where you were like, this is the guy and this is the time?
The thing is, he's always been my best friend. So, a lot of the things that new couples sort of go through and get awkward about, we like literally skipped to like stage 10 because we knew each other for so long. So
through,
it was very
through
easy.
TV, right? Because he's a TV producer,
yeah.
Quentin.
Yeah, he is.
So you were working together for years. Was there an attraction immediately?
I definitely think we were always attracted to each other, but we were never single at the same time. So it was always just that like no-go zone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. It's very rare though that people will stick it out, because if one of them is in a relationship and then the other one's in a relationship, usually they just go, oh, well, it's not meant to be, and they move on.
Yeah. I mean, it was really weird because he was just always a constant in my life. He was one of the first people I met when I moved to Joburg.
Wow.
So you also need to understand, like, I've known him for a very long time and he's been a confidant for a very long time. And when he decided, he was like, I think we should date. I was like, why?
How long ago was that?
This was about 3 years ago.
So how did you know he could be that kind of friend? Because when you work with people, sometimes you want to keep them at a distance, you know?
Funny enough, although we worked in the same building, we never worked on the same shows. So he was just someone I'd see at work, but you know what I mean? We were never really in close proximity, but then all our friends were mutual friends. So we always saw each other, always hung out and developed a very, very strong friendship. He was almost my career go-to person.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
you would ask him about what he thought of a project you were offered or?
Exactly. Contracts. He would go through a lot of them with me.
Wow.
Advise me to go to people. And
let me tell you, a guy has to really be into you to put up with all that.
Really? I think he was just a good mate, Garrett.
Reading the contract. He loved you.
He did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to click that he was in desperate head over heels in love with you?
After he proposed.
Right? You didn't know before?
I mean, I knew he loved me as much as I loved him, but I don't know. I became so cynical about love. Like for me, I was like, oh, just enjoy the moment and let it be happy and great as it is.
But okay, so
it could end.
You're friends. And then he says to you, oh, no worries. Let me look over that contract for you. And you don't go, wow.
Well, I'm like, please help me. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I left UCT. I'm in Joburg. I don't know anyone. I'm in this career and I don't know anyone that's in it. Help. So, I mean, I went to him a lot for advice.
This guy, I'm telling you, he had a fire burning in him like 5 years before you even caught on.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
He was like, this is the girl I'm going to marry. I'll do whatever it takes reading a boring fucking contract.
I like your story better, Garrett. We'll stick to that one.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm telling your story.
She's the one. He must have thought, this princess has walked into my life. I got to do what it takes to keep her. And if she's with other guys, I'll just bear it as long as I can until it's my time.
Okay. That's one side of the story.
You didn't get that impression earlier?
No. We were just really, really close.
That's amazing. But I mean, it's
beautiful. But I'm also kind of, I'm very naive as well. Well, I do have tendencies of just being very.
You seem to me like you're innocent in some way.
In some ways, yeah.
Not naive as in dumb or naive as in not paying attention to things, but like.
I choose to see the beauty in life and just go with that. Like one of my favorite descriptions is like, I honestly feel like I'm a fairy. Like I just sprinkle fairy dust.
But you have had this calmed life in some ways. I mean, I'm not saying it's always been easy, but it appears to me like you made this move to Joburg and immediately people started to take notice of you. It didn't take long before you had this TV career going. You were suddenly a star. I mean, I blinked and then suddenly the name everybody was talking about was Minnie Dlamini.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels like that when you look
back. That's exactly how it was. And I kind of feel like that journey was, you know, when people say, sometimes the stars just align, the right time, the right place, the right moment. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why, you know, this industry makes me really, really sad and happy at the same time, because, you know, sometimes you can have all the talent and you can have everything that it takes to make it, but your stars just don't align.
Do you ever pinch yourself and go, wow?
Yeah, every day.
Lucky me.
Every day. I wake up every morning and I'm like, I cannot believe this is my life. I still laugh. I walk around my house and I laugh because I think it's crazy. I can't, when I go down and I think of everything that I do and what I do for a living, I live my wildest dreams every day. And it's the craziest thing to be able to say.
Well, I mean, I just want to talk about this wedding for a minute because this was some wedding.
Yeah.
There's never been a South African, and I don't even like to use the word because I know what it means in this country. It's like a watered down thing, but a celebrity. There's never been a celebrity wedding like this in this country, ever.
Yeah.
It was not weird. On this scale.
Yeah.
You took your bridesmaids to France. You had this huge wedding. It was like a couple of days, this affair, this magnificent dress, this ring everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me like a fairy tale.
It was a fairy tale. And I also wanted to make it a fairy tale in the same breath. You know, everyone was so consumed with, it's the first big celebrity wedding. And for me, I was like, finally, young girls that look like me will be able to see a black couple that they can look up to.
Right.
I mean, if you Google black couple kissing, it's not a lot of things. Like you don't see it a lot. You don't have a lot of,
it's like lesbian with a dress. Very hard to find.
Terrible, Gareth. Terrible. But for real though, is that like I grew up and you were talking about how sort of I've lived a charmed life and I really have, and things were really great at some point growing up, and then things were really bad. But one constant in my life was I always had my mom and my dad who loved each other unconditionally and loved me unconditionally.
Now that you've just hit on now, that is the greatest privilege anyone can have.
100%.
You talk about money, you talk about people being born with certain looks, you talk about people being born with certain intelligence.
100%.
I think the greatest privilege in the world, the thing that makes certain people lucky, lucky, lucky in some ways, and also just grounded, and makes other people feel like they can never catch up, is having two parents or even a parent who loves them, who pays attention to them, who gives them what they need. Because a kid is like a sponge, and they'll absorb all the good you give them and all the bad. And if you don't have parents who love you and your parents are either never there or one of your parents is never there, or they don't give you what you need and they don't care about you, and they don't have, you know, a lot of kids grow up without a place they can go to be themselves.
For sure.
And for you to have that's like the thing, right?
100%. It's, I've got a self, my self-worth is beyond, because I don't care if people don't like me and don't love me. My mom and dad love me too much. I've got an abundance of that love. So I'm never really seeking
approval,
acceptance.
I've seen that about you. You, because people have said shit things about you like they have about me.
Yeah.
And people will do nasty things and people who are just jealous.
Yeah.
And there are people who feel that maybe you have things that they're entitled to for whatever reason.
Sure.
You don't seem to let that slow you down. I mean, you're not hanging around the back of the queue fighting with someone who's just called you something. You've got things to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's 100% because of my upbringing and 100% because of my parents. And, you know, when it came to this wedding and this marriage, that's what it meant for me, is that I now have the opportunity to continue the legacy that my parents, you know, gave me. Like, I know that my kids are going to be born in a loving home with a loving father and a loving mother.
Right.
And they're just going to have that one extra thing in life that, that will set them apart. And I'm excited that I get to do that. And that's why this whole wedding experience and the whole thing was so important for me and also important to share. You know, I just feel like positive references in any shape, color, are important for our societies and our communities. And the more we see them and the more representation we see of that, I think our communities will be much better than they are right now.
I read a quote yesterday from a guy called Thomas Sowell, who's one of the premier black intellectuals in America. And he said, people can call you whatever they want, but it's up to you to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's amazing.
It hit home.
I love that.
And what you said just now about self-worth is so true. Like, if I look at most of the problems in South Africa at the moment, a lot of them stem from individuals who just were never given an opportunity to develop a self-worth or didn't take the opportunity to develop that self-worth. And I think there are so many really talented, creative, smart people. They might not be educated smart, but they could be street smart.
For sure.
And the thing that's holding them back is how they feel about themselves. Mm. I mean, it must be, for you, very difficult sometimes to not make it about you, but a thing like your wedding is about you. It's you're just a girl who wants to get married to a guy she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this whole celebrity thing that goes with it. Did you feel at any point in the wedding like, just can these cameras and can all of this just go away and let it be me? Just me with just my man? Or did you say, oh, that we'll get to, or that we've had already, that we've got?
It was sort of a bit of, not even a bit of both. The cameras weren't an intrusion. I mean,
every wedding's full of cameras, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's how we wanted it to be, is that we didn't create a set for our guests. There were, at a wedding, there's maybe what, two photographers around, we had three or four, you know what I mean? Maybe a little bit bigger cameras, but it wasn't intrusive. It really wasn't intrusive. The company was my own.
Yeah.
So everyone that worked on the production is, I mean, obviously colleagues, but people I love dearly.
Right.
I mean, you know, one of Quentin's very good friends was the director of the show. So everyone was emotionally invested, and at every point, everyone was protecting the space for what it was. It really was as if it was a fly on the wall.
But it was on your terms.
And it was on my terms.
What you're saying, that's special, because I think for a lot of people, even people who are just hiring a photographer or a cameraman, they don't always have a say about. They just trust that person to do
the
thing. In this case, you were like, okay, here's what I want, here's what I don't want. And incidentally, I didn't realize that Beautiful Day is Minenhle.
Aren't you smart, Gareth?
No, you know, I'm trying to pay attention here.
Someone asked me the other day, why is it? And I was like, my name? And they were like, what?
And please tell me they weren't Zulu. Otherwise, they have no excuse.
No, they weren't. They weren't.
Okay, so you had Anele to MC it.
Yes.
I know my friends, Unati and Somizi, were there.
Of course.
But you didn't just invite them because they're celebrities.
No, those are my family. Those are my family. Funny enough, like, everyone was like, celebrity studded. Yeah. And I'm like, feel like there weren't that many celebrities.
Well, I just named them. Oh, you did have Mikasa there performing.
Yeah,
that's quite a big
one. I mean, there were quite a few people. Spare Naves were there.
Okay.
I mean, listen, there were a few people, but it was people that we almost started together with. You know, it's
right.
People that I've been friends with for the longest time, whether we're working together or not. I mean, some of my friends that were there, we've never actually worked together,
right.
But they're my people. They're my bloods. I mean, Anele, I remember her saying, you know, I don't do weddings, right? So I'm like, I know, but it would be really great. She's like, I'm just messing with you. I'll do it. And she's like, I better not get any bookings from this. So I'm like, I'm sorry, but please do it. And she was amazing. Like, she got there and she knew everyone. And that's why it was so beautiful. It was so personal. I mean, she had little stories that she would say in between that were real and that were about us and about times where she comes over. And, you know, it was a really, really beautiful space to be in. And when I look at my guests, I don't think, oh, so-and-so was there, so-and-so was there. I look at it as all the people that I love dearly celebrating this day with me.
Did your mom and dad love it?
Oh, my parents had, it was my mom's wedding and my dad's party. It was hilarious. My first, my father-daughter dance with my dad was, you guys never really got to see much of it, but he was literally dancing, like he used to act the fool when we were kids. He used to do this like bunny rabbit dance and we used to cry because we were like, you're the worst dancer in the world. My father taught a dance. He whipped it out of the archives. Oh, man.
Did you cry?
I died. I was finished. I was finished. Man. It was amazing. And I'm so glad. I think one of the things I'm even more grateful for is the fact that I got to get married and my parents got to see me get married and got to see me happy and are just really happy for me and happy for our space.
They've seen you succeed. They've seen you do incredible things. Yeah. And then to see you married to a man that they like and that you're in love with, that's, I mean, what parent could ask for more, right?
Yeah, it's a good space. I'm in a very good space, Gareth. I'm in a space where things that used to phase me earlier on in my career don't phase me as much anymore.
Like what?
Like just, you know, I've understood that some things are not for you. And before, you know, you'd go for something and you'd really, really want it. And you'd be like, oh, I want to host the show and I'm really, really keen for it. And just doesn't happen. And that would kill me. It would destroy me. I'd like curl up in a ball and die for a week. Now I'm just like,
okay,
it's not for me. There'll be other stuff.
Yeah.
And also to be in the position where I'm like, well, if they really don't want to give me what I want, I can just create it myself.
Now that's special.
And that's cool. Yeah.
So, okay, let's just look at what you're up to at the moment because you've got a lot going on. Just the other day, you hosted the Sun Met with Usain Bolt.
How cool was that?
I mean, tell me about it.
Listen.
Because this guy is, first of all, he appears to have had the best time of anyone at the Met.
What do you mean? It was his party.
Yeah.
Like,
he partied then and the day after and
the day after and the day before.
Yeah. So where did you guys first like meet?
So there was all the chaos when he arrived and whatnot.
He came by helicopter.
No. I'm talking about arrived to South Africa.
Oh, okay.
So we were supposed to do this like meet and greet before because we're obviously hosting together.
And you both did this with GH Mum, right?
Sure.
Okay.
So then
you can mention sponsors here.
No problem.
I'm not upset.
So then I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to do this meet and greet. And it just didn't happen. So I was like, oh, it's fine. We'll see him at the races. When we met, I was live on Supersports.
Oh, straight away.
Saying, welcome to South Africa. And yeah, that was a lot. But it was really good fun. Immediately after that, he already knew who I was. They'd obviously briefed him. And he was really nice. And he's like, oh, how's this? And da-da-da, you have to show me this and show me out. And he was just really – I've worked with a lot of international celebrities before, interviewed them. And they always get you with this sort of sense of entitlement, like they're better than everyone and everyone's a peasant worshipping them. And yes, he had a security, but – He was at home.
I saw pictures of him DJing.
He would go on stage.
Drinking.
He even knew the Vosho.
You're joking.
I promise you, me and him at some point were doing the Vosho. I was like, he was like, I learned the Vosho. I'm like, the Vosho.
Isn't he cool?
He was so cool.
He's like one of those people, you can't, there are no flies on that guy.
Oh,
he's
no,
like,
he's
so slick.
So slick. And also just so humble. And definitely one of my favorite people I've met in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and the fastest man in the world.
The fastest man. And he's tall.
Tall, huh?
He's really tall. Like, he's very statuesque. Like,
yeah.
You almost feel like you do feel like you're around.
You know you're around a physical specimen.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is the best humans could be.
It's crazy.
For certain things, he is the prototype for what humans should be.
Literally.
Like, you know, like he's just a perfect
male. He's like
male,
someone
right?
needs to find his blood and like recreate other people.
Now, does your husband worry when you're hanging around with Usain Bolt? Most women's husbands would be.
Most women's husbands would if they weren't there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, he was there.
Yeah,
did he keep an eye?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, Usain's cool, but I can do this and that. And I might not have to run to prove anything, but
no,
I can do other things.
What was really cool is he was really like, he was like, can I meet your husband? And I was like, sure. And he got to meet him and he was really respectful and really nice. And he was just a complete gentleman. Like he's a human being that I admired more after meeting him.
Oh, wow.
Than I did before. And I was a huge athletics fan. So
that's high praise.
Yeah. And I just, he's an incredible human being. It was so great to meet him. It really, really was. So many people disappoint. And I always try think about if someone had to meet me, you know, like what would I do and what would they, are they going to like me more? Are they going to dislike me all of a sudden? And that's always something I think about, because there's nothing worse than meeting someone you admire and then they just completely disappoint you. Yeah.
Have you, because I know if I think back, there are probably some interactions with people who wanted to meet me that I could have done better.
I know. And that's life, and it happens.
You know, you're rushing to a plane or you're in a bad mood or something's just happened to you or whatever.
We're humans.
And you don't give that person the attention that they deserve in the moment.
Sure.
Because it's their moment with you, so it's special for them, and you screw it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've screwed it up a couple of times.
But you don't beat yourself up.
I mean, I do, because I don't like it, because I know how it feels, because it's happened to me. You know, so it's something I really do try and avoid. And I'm one of those people, I'll generally always stop for a photo. It's just sometimes on those days, there are days where I'm just like, I don't know.
What about the
see
people
anyone
who are busy with the camera and then they can't find the flash and then they need to turn?
Oh, I take the phone. I take the phone.
Oh, you just do it.
I'll take the phone. I'll get the app. Because also most of them are just in shock.
Nervous.
So they're too nervous to actually figure out, I'll take the phone.
That's a good move.
Just take the phone.
Just take the phone and do it.
And
for
also
them.
I've learned.
Are you really good at selfies?
No, I'm terrible. But as long as we're in it, that's all that matters, right?
But you're a lot more photogenic than me. Is there a better angle? Where do you hold it? Show me.
Where's my phone?
Just try and show me where you would hold the phone.
I hold it like that, so then you tap that button.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. But like, is it above your head? Is it below? Is it?
I don't know.
Level
just
with
when
you.
It looks cute.
Okay.
When your face looks cute.
I've never looked cute in my life. So
oh, come
show
on,
me, just
Garrett.
Take a nice selfie now, and just as if. Yeah. All right.
Okay, but I can't.
No, both of us. Okay.
There we go.
Okay, now, are you happy with that?
I don't know.
Just take a look. I mean, would you put
no,
that on?
No, you're not even in focus. Okay, you are. Okay. I love that.
Right, that's nice. Cute. But you see, you look good in pictures.
So do you.
It's easy for you. Oh, please.
You
can see my hunchback and my club foot.
The Gareth Cliff, what are you saying?
You can see every defect. It's horrendous.
Come on,
can
Gareth.
We delete that, please?
No, I'll put it on my story.
So listen. When all of this is normal, when you're at home just being you.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume that even though you're working hard, you occasionally take time to just chill,
mm-hmm.
be at home
chill
with your husband. You do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you doing at home? Are you watching TV? Are you having people around? What are you doing?
All of the above. I mean, we really like to host. We love having our friends over. We've got an amazing group of friends that, well, they don't live close by, but we pretend like they do.
Okay.
And they come over all the time, and we're really like an awesome big family. We bri a lot.
Okay,
I swim a lot.
So you're brying. Now it's summer, you're going to swim.
Yeah.
Are we doing drinks?
Always.
Okay, good.
Always a bottle of mum.
What's the music?
Music is generally hip hop.
Okay, nice. I like that.
Yeah, generally hip hop.
Outdoor vibes.
Outdoor.
So you got like a veranda.
So chill in the garden, by the pool, and braai.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're prancing around in a bikini?
In a dress.
Oh.
Maybe bikinis inside.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
That's exciting.
Gotta be respectful,
yeah, sure,
wife.
Sure. Yeah, you've got your husband there.
You know what I mean?
All right.
No, but yeah, we.
Do people stay over if they drink too much?
We've got some friends that have dubbed rooms. Okay,
oh.
They have rooms in the house.
Wow. Hotel Jones.
Can you imagine? No, we have lots of fun. And I've also just found the importance of just being around the people I love most, and just always being around them. I mean, I'm always around my brothers. I'm always with my parents. My parents will come up quite often. Our families.
Where are they living now?
They're in Durban still.
Yeah. Okay, so how often do you see them? Once a month? Once every 2 months?
No, I see my parents at least once a month.
Okay.
At the very least, but it'll probably be more. Like after 2 weeks, it gets a bit awkward.
Didn't you buy them a car not so long ago?
I did.
Yeah, that made the news. People like that.
That was really awesome.
But that's special, you know? So few people, you know, if you didn't come from that family, you might not have got to where you're getting. And your parents probably really appreciated it.
My mother told me to take the car back.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not appreciative.
No, not even that.
Did she say, I didn't ask for this, I want that?
She was so overwhelmed. And she
did she said cry?
She cried too much. And she actually got sick after that. I'm just barely, I know that I should never do surprises like that again. But yeah, it was very emotional for her. And the thing is that what people didn't know about the whole gesture is when my parents had money, they were known for driving the snazziest cars. Like that's how we were growing up. And then we kind of lost everything. And then obviously the cars went. And the only thing that didn't go was the home. And that's why my traditional wedding is still one of my favorite ceremonies that I've ever had.
You had that at home.
I had that at home.
At your parents'
house. At my parents' home, yes. And,
What was slaughtered?
Some cows and some sheep.
How many all together? Because how many people do we have there?
No idea.
That part of the wedding? No idea.
I'm not. In terms of the guests, we had about 400 people.
Joe Way.
Yeah, we had about 400 people.
I mean, King Goodwill's Relatini doesn't have that many people around.
I'm sure he does. But yeah, it was a lot of people. It was a lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really, really fun. But yeah, so my mother, so they always had really nice cars, and that was sort of the first thing that went. So when I knew that I could afford it, I really wanted to get them like a really cute car. Just to be like, you've always been this in my eyes, no matter what happened in the graph.
Wow.
You know? And so that's why it was really special for me. Like, I still can't watch that video. I can't watch that video.
What is it with these tabloids that they are already, I mean, you've been married for a couple of months.
Oh, what? And I'm divorced.
Yeah, no, someone showed me, showed me this headline. They're like, trouble in paradise. Do you think that the journalists who work for these publications, and I'm going to say publications in inverted commas because you can't be a self-respecting human being and work for these institutions of madness.
Yeah.
But do you think it's because they earn 4,000 rand a month and they get paid to propagate bullshit that they can circulate, that will go viral, that will sell? Or do you think that it's actually an organic thing and they just get on with it? Do you think that there's mean nastiness in it, or do you think it's just their job?
Look, I think it's a bit of both. I think there are a lot of people who understand the power of the media and have been able to manipulate the media for their own benefit or for their own selfish needs. I do believe that. But I also believe that at the end of the day, these guys get paid per word. And if someone's going to conveniently give you a story.
Because there's no story like Minnie and Quentin are happily married. You can't charge for that.
No.
You can't sell a magazine for that.
No, no one's going to read that. So I get it. And look, the media has probably been, print media especially, has probably been the most painful part of my career. Because I've gotten in it quite rough. And there are certain things that as a human being, I wasn't allowed to deal with. Because I had to keep up appearances and I had, you know, I had things to do, and that really wasn't easy. But I honestly believe that they don't think about the consequences of those stories. And
because they publish it the next day, they've moved on to another story.
100%.
But you're left carrying the can.
Yeah. They don't realize it. They
and even if it doesn't hurt you, even if it doesn't hurt
you. It hurts the people closest to me.
Your parents, your friends, your husband. I mean, these are not people who asked to be in the media.
Exactly.
Like you.
Exactly.
You know? You and I, we asked to be in the
Call me anything you want. I don't care. But when it affects my family, that's when it really starts to hurt. And it's just, it's very annoying and frustrating because after all these years, I'm like, I get that there's a need and there's things that need to be done, but the media sets the tone of this country 100%. And that's one thing we also need to acknowledge and take responsibility for, is that we can decide whether South Africa is happy or sad.
And we can decide whether or not I listened to the news this morning and I was suddenly, there were two stories about like racial attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, now people who, let's say there's someone from Finland, who's visiting South Africa.
Sure.
They hear two stories about that in the news. They're going to go, this country's got problems.
Sure.
Meanwhile, there are people of different races getting on with each other every day, mm-hmm. getting things done together,
sure.
making it work. But those two stories, they know that's going to get the attention.
100%.
Right? And the same with if Minnie and Quentin are having marital trouble, that people are going to pick, oh, let's look at that story.
Yes, let's see what's happening.
Meanwhile, you're just having braai with friends on the weekend. I can't print that because it's not interesting.
No, it's really not. So you understand it, I guess.
So Mizi told me once that he doesn't even, when he sees certain numbers that he knows are journalists, he doesn't even answer.
Yeah.
Or he'll answer and say to them, go away. I have nothing to say to you. Bye-bye. And
100%.
He's like rude to them. And they've learned with him. And I mean, he's got a thick skin too.
Yeah. He's been doing this for so long.
Right. And since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he takes no prisoners. Like he's just print whatever you want. You're a piece of shit.
Doesn't care.
I'm not interested.
Yeah. We were actually on the front page of a Sunday paper together. We called each other and we were like, ha ha. And we laughed and then kept it pushing.
Were both of them bullshit stories?
Bullshit stories. I was getting divorced and he was in a love triangle.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And I was like, this is great. I was like, I was with you and your boyfriend last night. Love problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And it's just good fun that, you know, and also it helps having people around who also have just been in the game way longer than you have gotten over a lot of things. And then they sort of just lead the way. I mean, it's one of the reasons why my relationship with Asumizi and Anele and Unati is so important to me, because not only have they walked this walk, but they're still walking this walk.
All right. If you're trapped on an island, and you can only have one of those. Let's put a couple of your.
No, hang on.
This will be fun. This is just a fun game. No one's going to hold you to this. No one's going to say to you, oh, you didn't choose me.
I love you all for the record.
For the record, you love them all. So let's say Roxy Burger, Zex Bantwini, Somizi, Unati, and Anele. You've got to choose one to be on the desert island with you for like 2 weeks. It's just the two of you. You're going to make each other laugh. You're going to be able to survive with each other, not irritate each other. Who's your go-to out of those people I've listed?
I've got to survive.
Well, they're going to be with you the whole time. So
yeah.
The irritation levels must be at a minimum. The amount of fun must be at a maximum.
Sure.
Who's it going to be?
It's a toss-up
mm-hmm.
between Anele and Unati.
Mm.
Unati just did Kilimanjaro, so I mean,
I saw that.
I think I'll go with her. Her survival skills are out of this world right now. So probably her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the most logical answer.
Listen, I get along with both of them. I think you've made a good choice. I mean, Somizi would be maintenance.
I think I'd be chopping down the wood.
You'd be doing everything.
I'd be
doing. You'd become Somizi's servant.
I'd be doing everything.
And Zex Bantwini is such a gentleman.
Oh, he's awesome.
But he'd be useless on an island.
No, I think he'd teach me how to dance. I think after 2 weeks, I'd know how to dance. I'd eventually have my rhythm.
But you'd be doing a lot of the work.
No. Zex is a man. Zex is a...
No, that he is.
Absolutely.
I didn't say that
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's a typical Zulu
man. Don't you say that I said that you said that you said I said. God damn you. Come in here and badmouth everybody. Blame it on me. How dare you?
I was not ready for that. I was not ready for that. Sis on you, Garrett.
All right. So tell me about Home Ground.
Yeah.
What's this all about? What are we doing there? How's it going? Are you happy?
I'm ecstatic. It's in its second season now. Home Ground is basically a show that is everything that I am, in the sense that I love my sport and I sort of worked in the sports industry properly for about 4 years straight. And it was full on just soccer and all the other sports that I was doing, but it was a analytical show.
Right.
So there was nothing sort of.
Do you still get those people who say to you, oh, man, what do you know about soccer? You're good.
Oh, yeah.
You get
all the time.
That?
Oh, all the time.
You just move on.
Oh, whatever. Please. It doesn't faze me.
Because you can,
me.
If it comes to knowledge, you can trounce them.
Yeah. I mean, I do it for a living.
Sure.
You know, so.
It's nice, though. It's nice when you get challenged.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually. But it's funny because you sit there and you go, oh, this is what these people say. This is what they think. But at the end of the day, you're still watching me every week, giving you all your soccer analysis, if it was.
Right.
And then what I really wanted was to bridge the gap. Like, I found a lot of people were watching the sports shows that I was on, but not really interested in sport too much. So Home Ground really is the line in the middle. It's for your hardcore sports lover. You'll know exactly what's going on, the biggest games in the week and the upcoming games, all across the board. So cricket, rugby, all the way to Formula One, Winter Olympics, everything. And then we also have a celebrity guest. So the show is simulcast on SuperSport and Mzansi Magic. And so what it does, it caters to both audiences. It's really fun. It's short. It's pacey. And it's a show that I feel like more of my fans and people that aren't even my fans would really enjoy. And that's why I like the show so much. It really is bridging the gap between sport and entertainment.
Well, sport's a good place to be because this on-demand stuff that people are looking for now is going to steal from drama, from comedy, from soaps, from every show that you can download, basically. But sport kind of has to be live.
It has to be live.
And if you're talking about this week's games, who's going to download that next week?
You've
got to watch it live.
You have to watch it live.
There's value. Like, sport's one of the things that will survive in its current format, as will news. The other stuff's going to die.
Why do you think I moved to sport?
Right. This is a calculated move.
Yeah.
Damn right. You're no fool, huh?
A little bit.
You know what you're doing.
A little bit.
Did the TV execs who kind of were approached with this idea originally, did they get it? Or did you say to them, did you play a bit of the naive card? Because you could do that. You can play that naive
I didn't thing. At all. I mean, what I did is I played to my strengths. So I said, this is what I want to do. Might not make sense to you, but I can guarantee you numbers.
Right.
So if this makes no sense to you at all, do it for the numbers. And all I had to do was get there and prove that I was good enough to do it.
Well, I mean, talking about numbers, and I don't like to reduce this to numbers when it comes to your wedding, but the highest rated show in Vuzu Amp history was your wedding.
Yeah.
That's cool. Got to feel good, right?
I felt really good. I think I cried when I got that news.
That's great
news. It was a tweet, actually.
Because for this is what people don't understand. Like, if you're in engineering and you get that certificate that your bridge is cleared and you can now, you know, people can walk across it,
sure,
and it's not going to fall down. That's an achievement for you in engineering. In our business, ratings are our report card, right?
That is our report card.
And you get that. You must go, first of all those questions that I always get asked by people who are interrogating me is like, how relevant are you? You know, what's your social media?
Yeah.
Where's your influence? Mm-hmm. You get asked this all the time.
All the time.
It gets kind of annoying sometimes.
Very.
Then you say to them, well, highest rated show in Vuzu Amp history. You know, it clears the way for a lot of stuff to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Something just happened to me like literally a couple of minutes ago where I got a show and I just got told now that I don't have it anymore for a reason that I can't even explain and makes no logical sense. And I'm hurt. Like, I was really like, oh, I was excited about it. Mm-hmm. Got off that call, called my husband, and I was like, this is just what happened. And I've been excited about this for days. I've been like prancing around the house, like really excited about this thing. And then, I told him and he was like, you got it. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
You got it. It was yours. If they want to change that, doesn't change anything.
And it doesn't bother you like it might have done 5 years ago.
I mean, it definitely still hurts, especially when you get excited about something and then almost
it's like
feel
if
like,
someone cancels, you're really excited about a dinner with somebody or a lunch.
And then they
or
cancel
whatever.
Last minute, 100%. Yeah.
But it's not like you're going to go, oh, well, then I won't eat.
Exactly. No, exactly. So, and he said that and he's like, there's so many great things that are happening. This is just one thing. Don't let it get you down. Keep it pushing. And I actually feel really good right now.
You laughed at people who said that you sold your wedding to MultiChoice for $6 million. But I mean, if you had, it wouldn't have been an issue.
No.
It's nobody's business.
No. Absolutely not.
It, so what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's your wedding. You can do what you want with it.
100%.
Most people will spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of rands on their wedding.
Yeah, for sure.
If you can get that done the other way around and people are interested enough in it. Not a problem.
Not at all. And that was my business model, Gareth, to be honest with you.
Right.
I really got in there and I was like, I just don't want to spend on this wedding. And for the most part, that didn't happen. I mean, I did spend quite a lot of money on it. But,
of course.
But because, again, there were a lot of things that I wanted to control. And the moment you're a walking billboard, especially as a show, the show loses integrity. And what was important for me was to get certain things covered, but to still be able to have the wedding of my dreams.
But this is a change. Because I remember you saying not so long ago, you're quite happy to just be life partners with Quentin.
I was totally chilled with that.
Marriage wasn't a big deal to you. No. It wasn't even something that you were prepared to entertain seriously.
Yeah.
You were happy.
I was chilled. The thing is that I...
So what changed?
He asked and I was like, yeah, of course. You know, he was someone I decided a very long time ago that this was it for me. And whether he was going to propose or not was not going to faze me. He was mine and that's how it was going to be. And when he decided to propose, I was like, hell yeah, let's do that. So it, yeah. And I guess that's one of the things I always say to girls, especially, is that so many girls are chasing the ring, and I've been there. Yeah. Chasing the ring, and you're chasing the ring, and you end up losing sight of the relationship and what it really means. And we were in a relationship with absolutely no pressure.
That's so lucky and special. I mean, it's obviously something you two crafted together. This is what you wanted.
Yeah.
A lot of people get into a situation where they go, oh, what's next? Like now a lot of people must be saying to you, okay, when are the children coming?
I got that on the day after my wedding.
Oh my God, already?
Yeah, my mother was in tears the other day saying she's not going to be alive to see her grandchildren. I'm like, excuse me?
Hang on.
Wait.
Haven't I done enough?
I was like, give me a second to breathe. That's not even the best part. I'm getting offered baby shows.
Oh.
Like a reality show.
They're almost forcing you into having a child.
Yes, to document my pregnancy.
But are you feeling any pressure?
Mom,
no.
I mean, I get broody sometimes.
You do?
Definitely. Because now it's like, now I'm in a point in my life where
Have you met kids you like?
I've got a nephew and he's amazing. So I'm hoping they turn out like him. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm very aware of how difficult it is to raise a kid. And I know how hectic my life and lifestyle is right now. So I'm not sure that it's in the cards right now.
And also you see a lot of these couples, they've just got married and they have a kid and they don't get to actually enjoy each other. As a married couple.
Yeah.
Traveling a little bit.
Just figuring each other out and then seeing later, you know?
Okay, so don't let these people pressure you.
No,
right?
They won't.
Just tell your mom to lay off a little bit.
But if you offer me $6 million.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking.
Let's do it. All right. I'll, you know what? Funny, Multi-Choice had just called me now.
I mean.
They're interested in doing a baby show with
you. Can you imagine?
Can you be pregnant by August?
Well, we can make that happen.
Oh, I love this.
Can you imagine?
I can tell you're just happy. You're in a very balanced, happy place. Mm. What a life.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror some mornings. You're just happy to be you, huh?
Yeah. And it's getting chubs. It's so annoying.
What?
This whole like love thing and then getting chubby.
Come on. No.
No, I'm serious. Like, I mean, I'm not self-conscious about it. The good shit grew.
Are you
so
talking, because you used to have issues about your weight and made you insecure and once upon a time.
A little bit, yeah.
Which happens in television because people are looking at you the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
You put on a gram, people see. So you're not feeling guilty about how happy you are right now.
No, I'm definitely not feeling guilty, but the weight gain can like pause a little.
Well, like, you could do that in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Look at you. Come on, you just eat that revolting broccoli and grilled chicken crap that all these people who are fitness.
Oh no. When I'm about to lose weight, I eat everything that I love.
And you just train to death?
And I just run.
Oh, it's not bad for your knees.
No,
someone told me running's bad for your knees.
Running on a treadmill's bad for your knees and on the road, actually. But takes off the pounds.
Okay.
So it's not bad.
And then
I play tennis about once a week.
That's great
because that keeps you nice and toned. And
yeah, you got a little bit of muscle tone there. That's always very sexy.
Yeah. We keep it strong.
Yeah. Core, right?
Yeah.
You have those abs. Just a little bit. You don't
want
to be
there
too...
right now, but like soon.
Hey, me neither, honey.
Soon, man.
Nothing going
soon.
On here.
Do you know what the worst part was, though? Is the moment I started gaining weight, that's when all the pregnancy rumors started. And I was just like, I literally responded to someone who was like, Minnie, is that a baby on the way? So I was like, no.
Let me show you something.
I'm just fat.
Let me show you what my sister sent me yesterday. She thinks it's hilarious. She sent this. It's going around. It's a meme. It's a pregnancy test.
I love that. I need this in my
life.
Just
explain what it is.
So it's a pregnancy stick. And basically, obviously, you wait for your results. And instead of saying pregnant or not pregnant, it says just fat. So I love it. I need one of these. I actually think you need to send that to me so I can post it.
I'll send it to you. I didn't realize Sia was so worried because we'd messed your people around and moved the interview. And I know how busy you are.
Yeah,
you've been so gracious about it. But he said to me last night, he called me. He's like, oh, my God, I can't do this to Minnie again. Can't you please send her a message? Just tell her that we've got these times available. Can she make it? So that's when I sent you this message last night. And I realized your number hasn't changed in like 3-4 years.
Like 7 years, 8 years.
Well, I must have got it like four years ago.
Yeah.
Now, do you get calls from people that you don't want? Like I heard the other day, King Goodwill Zweletini got a call from like an insurance company.
Are you serious? Yeah.
And they quizzed him like, do you need house and vehicle insurance? And he's like, no, I think I'll be okay. They didn't know they were talking
to King
Goodwill.
They didn't know
they
were talking
Goodwill.
To him. That's hectic.
Do you get calls? Obviously, you get those kinds of calls.
Do you know what's weird? Is when I do get calls, like courtesy calls from like your insurance or whatever, just like checking if things are okay or whatever. Then the consultant, or I'll be calling for something.
Yeah.
You know, just any sort of service provider.
What is your name?
And then they go, oh, is it really you? That's what I always get. And so, I'm like, yeah, can we speak about what I need?
And they're like, oh, can I just get a picture when I see you here or whatever? Or can you do
I've
a voice note for me?
I've been transferred from one, like, sort of, what are they called?
Consultant. So, yeah.
From one consultant to,
so
like,
that her friends could hear that she was speaking to you.
And I just had to say hi. And I was like, you guys are wasting, but I really needed something. So it was very nice.
And then it's helpful.
I was very nice.
Like, it's Minnie. We've got to do everything we can. Right.
So it worked out. But that's really awkward. Like sometimes you're just calling for a claim and they freak out.
Bantu Holomisa, when you reached 2 million followers, said that you should run for president.
Yeah. He says it to me all the time when I see him.
Isn't he all the time. He's great,
first of all. He's one of my favorite people on earth.
He's the only, I really mean this, he's the only politician I really respect.
Really?
Yeah, all the other politicians, no time for. All of them.
Do you know what I like so much about him? And I
Some
think
of them
I
are
understand.
Nice. Some yeah, of them are nice. They're fun.
And they're cool and they're fun. But
he, I respect him.
Do you know why, though? His political stance is what it is. And I don't think it's ever really changed.
No.
And that's what I admire about him so much is that, you know, I grew up with a family that was very politically conscious. So in terms of parties, their inception, all of them, we had to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like my parents were very, very big on understanding the basic structures of every single party and what each party stood for, especially even the ones that fell off and why they fell off. And with him and his party, he's just, what I love about him is when you meet him in person and then when you hear his political thoughts, very much on par. He says what he feels, when he feels it, and always in the most educated fashion. I love his delivery because it's so African, but so clear and educated at the same time, which I love. So,
but you also know you're talking to a Xhosa aristocrat.
100%.
Like this man.
And you get that when you speak to him or listen to him.
He's got like 5-6 generations or more of like chief in him.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's not some street guy.
In my culture, we say someone like that walks with their ancestors.
Yes. Yes.
And you get that from him,
right.
Is that there's definitely, you in the
it's
presence.
Like a self-assured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you take this seriously when he says you should run for president? Do you think he's just being nice to you?
The thing is,
do you think
that
he means it?
We've actually had quite a few conversations about it. So if you go to my high school yearbook, I wanted to be president. I got into UCT and I studied a PPE. And then I changed. But politics was always really in my blood. I just explained to you how my parents always made us quite aware. And politics has always fascinated me. Always.
Well, listen, Nkosasana just missed the post, so you could be the first female president.
I could be. Huh? Time could tell. Now, I think there's a lot more women in between me and when I decide or if I decide I ever want to run. But
do you think it's an old person's game, politics?
I do. I think it's a loyalty game. I don't even think it's an old people's game. I think it's a loyalty game. You've really got to earn your stripes. You've really got to. And it reminds me very much of the entertainment industry. I mean, my first maybe 2 years in the business, I worked for my money. Mm-hmm. You know, I could still only shop at Mr. Price. And I had a job, and you know what I mean? I still couldn't afford the nice things that sort of my, you know, colleagues or peers afford. Yeah. And that's what it is that I think politics is really about earning your stripes and proving that you're worthy for us to follow. Whether it's happening in the right ways or not right now, debatable, but I definitely think if you stick to your guns, I think those are the politicians that really do stand the test of time.
So you're not saying never?
I'm not saying never. Hmm. But I'm saying I could, starting again, I might not.
Why not?
It's a very dirty game.
That's the thing that puts me off.
And the thing is that I'm already in an industry that's very dirty in itself. Mm. Now I must move from one dirty space to another dirty space. I'm just like, oof.
Yeah. Well, could always go into the church.
I mean, I thought about that too.
Did you?
I really did. I went through a phase where, wow, look at me sounding all retarded.
No, tell me.
I literally thought I wanted to be a pastor. I struggled with, when I moved to Joburg, I struggled with a lot of the churches. Some of them were just too big, and I never grew up in a big church, grew up in a very small church. Some of them were a bit too happy clappy, grew up Anglican. Like, oh, we right. have a book and we walk in an aisle.
Hymnal. Oh.
Listen, it was hectic. I'm confirmed even. So,
Anglican.
Anglican. Sure. Confirmation class for a year.
Wow.
And yeah, so anyway, and I really thought that I would love to open a church that would speak to me or speak to someone like me, where sort of the old ideals aren't necessarily relevant, but you're able to transcribe the word into what's going on in today. There's this guy, have you seen Megan Good's husband, Devon Franklin?
No.
He's a pastor, and Megan Good is like the Beyonce of like,
the church.
No. She's an actress, but she was like every black girl guy's fantasy.
Oh wow.
Like she's incredibly
beautiful. She's married to a pastor.
She married a pastor.
Because she's unattainable, you see.
You see, clever girl. But he speaks such truth. Like he'll speak the word, but then he'll speak about society and friends and business and how to go for the things that you need to go for without feeling like going for your dreams is not humble enough for the church.
Yeah.
And those were things that always really fascinated me. So that was something I thought I would have become.
You might have become a preacher.
Might have.
Could have been good at it.
I think I could
you
have.
You can't
been.
Do everything though.
I won't. I mean, look, I can sing, act, dance. No, I can't dance. I can pretend to dance. I don't sing because my mother says I have the worst voice on planet Earth.
She spoiled it for you.
No, she said I'm horrible.
Hmm.
No one's got ears. No one can hear normally but her. So I don't sing.
But you know other people have heard you sing and then they say you sing beautifully.
I mean, look, I do musical theater. So I do that talk singing stuff. I'm no Beyonce.
But,
I'm okay. But again.
Possible.
I feel like so many people in this industry, because they can, they do. Mm. And it's not about that.
I had this conversation with someone the other day. If I have to see another soap star who's putting out a CD, I think I might throw up.
Yeah. It's just like, just go into your one thing. I mean, when I went into sport, Gareth, I stopped everything. Mm. I literally stopped everything. I stopped, you know, going to events. I stopped, you know, being at these, you know, lifestyle type events.
I don't see you at events very much, but then I don't go very much either. What does it take to get Mini Dlamini at your event?
You got to pay me, Gareth.
Right. Mm. Just to pitch. Right. But you'll look great.
I'll look amazing.
You'll pose for the pictures.
I'll pose for pictures. Might even throw in a tweet.
Huh. That's a thing.
Yeah. Also, I've been in this game long enough to know.
You know your value.
My value, yeah.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
It's great. Some people, in fact, you'll probably find the people who criticize you are the ones who wish that they could get paid to attend events.
Sure.
And they're desperately picking up scraps and going to everything they can.
Yeah.
Because they want to be noticed.
Yeah.
Right.
But also, it's a balance, Gareth. I mean, when I started out, I was going to a lot of events, mostly because of work, but also just, I've got to build your rep. So I always tell people, I was like, if you're starting out, be everywhere. Mm. You know what I mean? And in the beginning, it doesn't dilute the brand, but you just got to know when to stop.
Do you ever really spoil yourself?
I do. Like, I spoil myself a lot.
What's the most extravagant thing you've done recently just for you?
I have a shoe and bag weakness.
Mm.
So I always buy myself like a really nice pair of shoes.
Are we talking Imelda Marcos? You've got rooms full of shoes?
I've got a whole room
You've
of
got a
shoes.
Whole room.
Oh, no, Gareth, now you're making me sound like this
come on.
Person.
How many pairs?
I don't know how many pairs. I've never
counted.
How many
pairs of shoes are we talking about here? Are we talking over 40, over 50, over 100?
My closet room is this big.
This is a big room. This is 5x5, maybe. So it's 25 square meters, your closet.
Yeah.
So that includes room for the shoes.
No, so the shoes are all on that wall.
Wow. Okay, we got and all the way up?
Yeah.
So we've got literally 25 square meters of shoe storage.
Mm. And those aren't all my shoes. Those are just the pretty ones.
Do you keep – because obviously there's some that you don't wear.
There's some I don't wear. When I say I've got a weakness for shoes, I've got a pair of shoes that's a size 3.5. I'm a size 4.5. Mm. So that's
so you bought them knowing they wouldn't fit you?
Yes.
But you had to have them.
They're so pretty. So I just look at them in the morning and say, hi, shoes.
What do you wear when you are – what do you got on now?
No, now I'm just wearing like normal shoes. They're just normal black.
Oh, those are beautiful though.
Thank you.
Okay, but you don't put on the sneakers sometimes?
I wear sneakers all the time.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Anything in particular you like?
No, I'm not. I like a style of shoe.
Because I've got a sneaker thing as well.
Have you got a sneaker thing? I've got a lot of sneakers though for a person who doesn't have a sneaker thing.
Yeah, I got a sneaker thing.
But I'm just very – if the shoe is nice, I don't care what brand it is, I'll take it. But then there's also some brands that are very consistent with their shoes. Like, I've got a weakness for All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like it's one of those shoes
where... In every color?
In every color.
Beautiful.
You've got to have an All Star. I mean, my favorite pair is that I've got a gold pair.
Mm.
I mean, what?
Mm.
I love those. But I mean, it's just because I feel like that's just the shoe. It just looks good in a dress. It looks good in shorts. It just looks good in everything.
Wow.
So yeah.
And the bags?
Bags, I'm not brand specific.
Okay.
It's again, style.
So you're not like those idiots who go into Louis Vuitton and buy like every bag they have in a
range. Can I be honest with you? I think I own one Louis Vuitton bag. Okay. And I don't even know where it is.
Oh.
I think someone might have taken it from my cupboard. I haven't seen it.
Do you worry? This is going to sound ridiculous, but when you've got so many shoes, do you worry that maybe some get stolen?
I remember every single pair.
You don't
they're my babies.
Do you itemize? Do you have like a number system?
No, I know. The thing is that they sit in their pairs and in grids. So they're all. So if one's missing, you can
see.
Yeah. So and they're color-coded.
No one's ever stolen a pair of shoes from you?
No, they've borrowed a pair of shoes and then never brought them back. So if that constitutes a stealing, then yes. But no one's
taken
them.
You want to name
them.
And shame anybody?
All my friends. I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm kidding. No, people don't steal. They take. Also, the thing is that
they take.
I wear my things once most of the time. So my closet is like really fun for everyone.
How often do you clear out?
Once, twice a year.
You go in and you just throw out stuff.
Yeah,
that you
my husband's uncle actually has a charity thing that he does with all the kids in the community.
Okay,
and he brings them over.
But what are they going to do with your gold All Stars from two seasons ago?
No, but I mean it's things.
Imagine
it's
how
clothes.
Horrible that is for a poor child.
No man, I just give them a lot of my clothes, and I have a lot of them. So
these were mini Tlaminis.
They die. They go crazy. I don't even think some of them wear the stuff. I feel like it defeats the purpose. But yeah, it's
you
good
know,
fun.
I'm so happy you're happy.
Thank you.
It's so good to see someone doing well, doing what they're doing, being themselves. And you know, you hear that stupid line, living your best life, but you really are.
I am. And I mean, it doesn't mean that it doesn't get hard, and it doesn't mean that it isn't challenging.
No, sure.
It just means that I choose to be happy every day. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen today that's going to irritate me and piss me off and make me grumpy, but I'm just not going to allow it to.
I had someone drive into the back of me on the way here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. The car's all right because it was her, this girl behind me who drove. I was stopped at the stop street at the traffic light, and we were turning. I was with Sia. We were turning right. This girl just went boom into me.
Oh, no.
And I think she's Polish or something because she could not speak English very well. And she's like, oh, my God, they crashed the car. I don't know what happened. I'm like, oh.
Crashed the car.
I didn't want to be angry or so. I said to look, it happens. Give me your number. I hope she gave me a real name and number.
I hope so.
Because I didn't take a picture of the car or anything.
What?
No, Garrett. I know, but we were in a hurry to get to you.
Oh, man. I told you. I'm chilled. Oh, and also, you were speaking earlier about, you know, just coordinating schedules or whatever. I'll always make time for the show.
Thank you.
You need to know that.
Thank you.
You're someone who, for the longest time, I remember just being in complete awe of you.
What?
And oh, come on, Gareth. I've told you this before. I think the first time I met you, I told
you. You have such low standards, really?
No, man. Come on. People are listening, okay?
All right. Yeah. Gareth, all right. I'll try and take a compliment.
No, for real. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where I used to listen to you every morning on my way to school. And it was just knowing that you were just one of those people when I wanted to say I've made it or I'm making it in the business, I wanted to be at your level. That's what it was for me.
You're there and
you're the benchmark.
And some honey. Well done. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
Yo, I could talk to you all day.
I know. How long has it been?
People are going to get annoyed that we're taking up so much of their time. It's been like an hour and 5 minutes or something.
No, man, that's cool.
I'm serious. This is a great conversation. Awesome. I love talking to you.
I also love talking to you.
Last time I spoke to you, we were 2016. Yeah, 2016.
Jeez, 2 years ago.
And look at that. We've got so much to talk about. Well, you've become Mrs. Jones. You're doing so well. You're thinking about the kids, but you're not.
Yeah, it's a very confusing time,
Gareth. It's busy.
All right,
Minnie. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love you.
Love you too. CliffCentral.com